A litany of atonement is such a good beginning to a new year. The question is never, did we fall short, but how and when and why? The Jewish tradition understands this very human part of our nature and always has. 3,000 years ago, the prophets of the Hebrew Bible were often as not admonishing the Israelites, who again and again fell short of living up to the promises they had made. And so very wisely, the faith incorporates into the cycle of the year this time of atonement, symbolizing the need for a new beginning, what in secular terms we call a second chance. The story I'm about to tell you is true, and I wish I could tell you the source other than I heard it on the radio, NPR. But having scoured the StoryCorps and This American Life, I cannot find it, so this comes from my memory of having heard it just once. I know there are animal lovers in the congregation, including dog lovers. So before I begin, I need to tell you that all the dogs were fine. The story is about a middle-aged college professor named Alejandro. He described growing up in a large family in Spanish Harlem. He said they were poor, really poor, and his father had been injured at work, which meant that they just barely scraped by, and of course there was no extra money for frills of any kind. And like most boys his age, middle school, Alejandro wanted cool stuff. He wanted clothes and expensive Nikes and T-shirts that he's saying advertised everywhere. He was too young to have a job, but a local drug dealer on his block gave him an idea for making money, and it worked. Alejandro and a friend would walk all the way from Spanish Harlem over to the Upper East Side, bringing with them a laundry bag and a pair of scissors, and they would look for small dogs that had been tied up outside beauty parlors, post offices, and convenience stores. When they found one, they would quickly cut the leash and put the dog in the laundry bag, and Alejandro would take it home. Then 2 days later, he would go back to the area where they had taken the dog and look for reward signs. And then he would go home and call the owner. He said even in the seventh grade, he had a sense of the power of words, and he had recently learned the word aimlessly. So when he called the owners, he always said the same thing. He told them that he'd found their dog walking aimlessly in Central Park. A meeting would be arranged, and this time Alejandro brought his little 5-year-old cousin, always promising that if he cried on cue, Alejandro would give him a whole dollar so he could buy 100 pieces of penny candy. When they met the owner, just as Alejandro was handing the dog back, his little cousin would begin to cry, saying, "Please don't give away my dog." And Alejandro would gently explain to him that the little dog wasn't theirs. "It's the lady's dog," he'd say. And this tender scene would often result in an increase in the reward money. So this line of work continued for about 4 months, and it was relatively lucrative. Now there was money for new Nikes and some shirts, too. And then one night, while at home watching television, the front doorbell rang. His mother answered it, and he could see there were 2 white men in suits talking with her. She called his father over. Alejandro knew he'd been caught. In desperation and without getting up from the couch, he silently began to pray. "Dear God," he prayed, "please give me a second chance. If you give me a second chance, I'll never take anything that doesn't belong to me ever again, ever." His parents called him to the door. One of the men asked, "Do you know why we're here?" Alejandro said, "Yes." And the man asked if he had any of them with him now. "Yes, one," he said. "Well, we'll take that one." So Alejandro went up to his room and came back carrying the little dog. "What's that?" asked one of the startled men. "It's the dog," Alejandro said. "We're trustees of the library, and we're here for your library books that you took out and never returned. It seems in addition to the dog-sitting business, which is what he told his parents he was doing with the dogs in his bedroom, Alejandro had also developed an interest in art, and he would go to the library and check out those large art books filled with copies of paintings, but he never took them back. So good to his word, he said he never did ever take anything that didn't belong to him again. And now, years later, he teaches, and he also volunteers at a detention center for adolescents, and he tells them this story, and then he says to them, "When you are released, you will be getting a second chance. Always," he says, "always take the second chance." What would any of us do without second chances? Try as we might, we don't always live up to the promises we make, either to ourselves or to other people. And sometimes we cross that red line, whatever that is, and our words or actions cause hurt or disappointment or distrust or what seems like irreparable harm. But isn't every day, every hour of every day, a chance for a new beginning? I remember watching a minister once talk with a group of children in church, and he used a tube of toothpaste to illustrate his point. He squeezed out most of the toothpaste, and then he asked the children how he could get the toothpaste back in the tube. It was generally agreed that that wasn't going to be possible. So the minister then told them that our words are a lot like that, that once we say them, we can't really take them back. We can't unsay them. So we need to take care in what we say to people. Toothpaste was very effective, if a messy visual aid. I still remember it. But what it didn't address was the atonement part of our failings. Once we've emptied the tube, then what? Well, then we atone for having done it. That could be almost anything, an apology, a promise, some form of restitution, maybe even a sentence served. And then afterwards comes a new beginning and the grace of a second chance. I think second chances are surely one of the greatest safety nets of this life. We get to try again. It's why, generally speaking, people with more years of living are thought to have a broader perspective on life than the very young. After 5 or 6 or 7 decades, we're pretty familiar with how the process works and hopefully have gained some insight and self-awareness along the way. Atonement is a good beginning for a new year, and it's good for us to have as part of our worship a litany of atonement in which we say together, as we just did, we forgive ourselves and each other, and we begin again in love. So may it be.